You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. And today, it's happening. We officially know there are 33 days until the Pacers play basketball. We have a confirmed schedule. We're going to break it all down, what it means, who their competitors are playing, how easy it is. We're going to do our predictions as always. And to do that with me, as we did it before the real season started with the actual schedule, my co-host Adam Friedman. Adam, how you doing?
Doing well. You don't have a funny pun for me like I usually for you?
No, you're so much better at hosting than I am.
No, it's not true.
Did anything even happen this weekend that wasn't like depressing?
Let's see. What happened in the last somebody who has not been canceled off YouTube for a 10-year-old video.
Oh.
You know what I'm referring to there?
What?
At all? Do you know what I'm referring to there at all?
I don't.
Jenna Marbles, I believe. Marina's favorite YouTube star. She left YouTube because she had a 10-year-old video that maybe, I don't even know what was wrong with it, to be honest.
I'll look into it after the show. No, I have not been canceled. Moving on with my life so far. So far, so good on that front. Yes, we have the Pacers 8-game slate. So if you'll recall, originally the reporting was that every team would play the first 8 games chronologically on their schedule. That would have been the games that they played of the teams remaining, which for the Pacers, actually, I won't get into specifics immediately, but basically that was impossible.
Yeah.
That was impossible for every team because some teams would have like not played 8 or whatever. So it was going to be slightly tweaked to reflect a team's strength of schedule. And a lot of times in these situations, the Pacers kind of get screwed. I just realized in my own article, I put Lakes instead of Lakers. That's embarrassing. Anywho, their original schedule was supposed to be 76ers, Heat, Suns, Magic, Rockets, Kings, Clippers, Lakers. 6 of those 8 games are the same, with the Clippers and Kings being removed. So the Pacers' official schedule is 76ers, Wizards, Magic, Suns, Lakers, Heat, Rockets, Heat. So they replaced the Kings and Clippers with the Heat and the Wizards. Sounds like a good trade to me, Adam.
Yeah. I think the most interesting part is that they play their kind of the two teams are within range of 3 times.
Almost half their games are against critically important teams in the standings, which is interesting.
Right. Were they supposed to play Boston twice in the year or just once?
They would not have played Boston at all. They had one more game against Boston, but it was outside of their 8 games. So no Boston. Yeah. They get – but I think the interest – so going game by game in terms of intrigue, if we can even do that. The first game is the Sixers, which that would have been their next game anyway for both teams. So that one was going to be there no matter what. That game settles the tiebreaker, basically. Like if the Pacers
Pacers are 2 games behind in conference record from Philadelphia.
No, that's the Heat.
No, they're 2 behind Philly. They're 4 behind the Heat.
No. Conference record. Thank you.
That's the tiebreaker if they don't.
The Eastern Conference record. Right. So if they lose that game, they'd be 3 behind with not many to make it up.
With 6 games left. So, yeah, it's the
– Yeah, but also they play the Lakers and Ron – yes. And Suns. So they'd have 5 Eastern Conference games to make up a 3-game difference. So if they lose that game, they're probably going to lose that tiebreaker.
Yes. So, yeah, it's the probably – there's the most important game on the schedule unless Miami loses a bunch of games.
First game. Yeah.
And it'll be a rusty
game. Because they can't actually – we'll get to the Heat, but they can't actually get the tiebreaker with the Heat because the Heat are going to win their division. So even if they split with the Heat and catch them in conference standings –
the tiebreaker is division, really?
The second tiebreaker is if you win the division. If you're
what about head-to-head? They lost to Miami already twice, right?
They already lost to Miami twice. So playing Miami twice at the end – the Heat have a crappy. The Bucks being in the Pacers division.
I don't even look at the division standing because they don't matter.
They don't matter. They do not matter. They guarantee a playoff spot technically if you win, but it doesn't matter because usually a team good enough to win a division.
There was one year where I think it was like a Celtics year back in maybe like 10 through 12 or something like that, where they were like really bad and almost like the 7th seed, except because they won their division.
Remember they used to give like that team a 4th seed in the NBA, like in the
first round. One year it was a 3 seed, and then somebody like, this is crazy. We have a team that won 20 more games.
There was a year in the West where like you were angling for the 16. And there were like 50-win teams tanking to play the crappy. I think it was the Mavs.
They were like, no, here, I found the year 2011-12. The Celtics won their division with 39 games.
Wow.
And ended up being the 4 seed because they couldn't. And the 5 seed Atlanta had more wins than them that year. But I think because of whatever rule, they couldn't.
Yeah. So they don't guarantee a top 4 seed anymore for that, but they do. I think you'd still get a playoff spot, but no one cares about divisions in the NBA. It doesn't matter. But it does matter in this instance because the Pacers cannot mathematically catch the Heat. I think unless – can the Magic catch the Heat in the standings? No, they can't. So they've already locked up their division. So
yeah, Magic's too far behind.
So the Miami's won theirs. But yeah, that first game with Philly is, of course, the biggest one because, you know, the reason – so let's back up a second. The reason it's important their schedule is a bit easier – and like we talked about, a home court isn't actually that important anymore, right? Because they're like there's no home court advantage.
Yeah, just get to the 5.
You're in Orlando, but you know if you're angling for a specific opponent, I don't know that any team is going to do that in the 3-6 slog in the East. But if you are angling for a specific opponent, having an easier schedule, especially early like the Pacers do, having an easier schedule means there are more opportunities for you to manipulate the wins and losses in your favor to get the team you want to play. That's where it being easier comes into play. However, if they lose to the Sixers, they will be behind the Celtics for sure, and they'll lose the tiebreaker to both Philly and Miami. And I'm assuming that I don't know actually who would get the three-way head-to-head there.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out because I think if you look at
the three-way rules are confusing. I'm going to assume that if they lose the tiebreaker to – I'm assuming the Heat would get it from their division, and then it would just default to the head-to-head for Philly-Indiana. Yeah.
So, like, if the Pacers go, like, 7-1 and beat every team but the Lakers, there's a good chance they end up being some kind of three-way tie. Just because
– that could happen, yeah.
Miami has a pretty tough schedule. They could drop back a few in Philly.
If they go 7-1 and lose the Lakers, they'll win the three-way tiebreaker over the Sixers, and the Heat will just win their division. So, it would be probably –
oh, yeah. Okay.
So, if they beat the Sixers, like, they can do a lot of manipulation with their seeding. But if they lose that game, they can basically do none. So, that game is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the most important game on their schedule. It kind of was, like, even before this whole thing happened. We were talking about that was kind of the game. You need to win the tiebreaker there because you never know. I mean, for at least the past couple of years, it seemed like it's come down to end of the year between a lot. Like, I think 1 year ago was, like, the 3-5 seeds were all decided by a game or a game and a half because it ended up that Cleveland started, like, kind of screwing with their positioning as well. But, I mean, we knew like, it was important anyway, so, I mean, I'm not sure – it changes much except the fact that it's going to be a really rusty game because nobody's
right. Going to play basketball the first in 5 months. For both teams, that's super interesting. The other thing I think matters in the next run of games, so their next three games are Washington, Orlando, Phoenix. So what a lucky stroke that they get the Wizards because the Wizards are far and away the worst team headed to the bubble. It's laughable that they're even invited. And
the Suns are pretty bad too, but they get them also.
Yeah, they also get the Suns 2 games later. But the Wizards don't have Bertans, Adam. They're worse.
Oh, yeah.
They're already bad, and they're worse. So getting the Wizards is huge. That's their second game. I'm assuming they'll win that game. But the 3-game run of Washington, Orlando, Phoenix is good to get your feet under you before the hard game's won. And two, every team gets one back-to-back in their 8-game slate, and the Pacers get it for Wizards Magic, which is probably the best 2 games to get it for, right?
Are the Magic also playing back-to-back?
I don't know the Magic schedule for that. That is a good question. Let me check that. But yes, would you say that's easier or Magic Suns is easier? That is not the Magic's back-to-back, no.
Okay, I just wanted to do it that way to make sure.
That is the first night of the Magic's back-to-back. They play the Pacers and the Raptors the next night.
There are a few teams that could have gotten better in back-to-back. Washington, Phoenix is the easiest one by far, but Orlando's a close second.
Yeah, if you could have switched Phoenix and Orlando.
Right, I don't think I want to play the Pelicans, the Spurs, or the Grizzlies because I think they're all better than Orlando.
It's interesting. So I've been thinking about this, like, and we'll talk about this later, the strength of schedules just based on record, but I'm kind of wondering, like, early teams will be jostling for positioning sort of, but, like, is playing one of the teams that's fighting for a play-in spot like Phoenix like actually harder than like a 3-6 East playoff team? That's
is
like
Phoenix really competing for a play-in spot?
Maybe Orlando's a better example.
I mean, they're
trying to get the 7 spot ahead of Brooklyn to guarantee their berth.
They're 6 games back, but 4 teams in between. Like they would if they lose just their first game or two, they're out.
Yeah, they have to do them and the Spurs just have to do like incredible to even.
Well, the Spurs at least are only half a game back.
Someone good's not playing for the Suns, right? Isn't Kelly Oubre's not playing? That's who
that
it is.
Sounds right.
They're bad, man.
But like the Spurs, remember the Spurs are only half a game behind the three teams ahead of them, so that they're not like that. It's not that the Suns are 2.5 games behind of the nine.
The Suns and Wizards just should not be in this, but whatever. The Pacers get both of them, which is very nice.
Yeah, I mean, were the Wizards making it run at all? Not really, right? I mean, they weren't
no,
really making it.
No. I think they were tanking.
Yeah.
I don't think they cared at all.
Which kind of sucks because now they had a shot and they lost like their last 18.
I know they're locked into their seat. They're like lottery odds, even if they do awful.
They had a chance to sort of catch at least Charlotte and the Bulls, who are only 2.5 games ahead of the Bulls.
Yeah, for tanking purposes.
If they had terrible, like lost their last, I said 18 games or whatever, they could have maybe finished at like a bottom 14.
Yeah. So I think in terms of if you want the Pacers to just, you know, dominate these games, have their feet under them, be ready for the playoffs, after that important game, having those three easy ones is really nice because their final four, two against Miami, which could be very important, A, for playoff previewing, and B, just for jostling for position. And then they also have Houston and the Lakers, which is one of the best two teams in the league, and then James Harden has just dominated the Pacers forever because of the way that their defensive scheme works. So those are four really hard games. So if they can go into that stretch at 3-1 even, I mean, I bet they'd win one of those. You know, that's a nice little cushion leading into the tough stuff.
Yes, it is. And that's
when you're only playing eight games, everything is important.
Yeah, and there's also a good chance they could draw the Lakers maybe at the point where they're not trying anymore, right? Lakers.
Yeah, I wonder if they can clinch. The Lakers can clinch in their first four games. Maybe they'll have played five by then, too, just because they play opening night, too.
Yeah.
The pace, that's their sixth game.
So they should have that locked up. I mean, there's
– So, yeah. Wow.
Houston will be probably the only
– So how far ahead is the Lakers? They could have had – wow.
Five and a half.
About this.
They're five and a half
up.
They can clinch by like the third game.
So they have to win three of their first five before they play the Pacers to have the first seed locked up before that game. That would be an interesting wrinkle. That could be an easier game.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at the toughest games, obviously, are Philly, Houston, Miami.
Houston will have to be jostling for positioning the whole way with teams right around them. And, yeah, we know Miami.
Well, and Tony thinks Houston's like one of the best five teams in the league this year.
I think Houston's really good, man. I can't explain it. James Harden's a beast.
I mean, he's really good at the team.
I stand by. Who is Houston's back-to-back? I just typed Houston schedule, and it gave me the Texans. Very helpful. I really want to talk about football on this podcast. Like, does any team have their back-to-back featuring the Pacers? I wonder.
Yeah, Houston does.
Houston's does. There we go. So maybe that's another one. And maybe they've locked up their seed by then, so they just punt their back-to-back.
Yeah, can we talk about how weird some of these times are? I mean, I get why they're doing it, but, like, it's going to be –
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up because everyone will find a way to watch if they're listening to our show or they'll want to watch. But
or find for, a way
me,
to follow
the, for me, the viewer who probably only has to leave work an hour early because they didn't get any of the early games, I am elated with the times of day they got.
Well, wait, 3 o'clock. You leave work at four most days?
No, I it's not weird to like.
Oh, wait, get I'm, an on, hour I'm on, early. I'm on not, Central Time. Sorry.
Yeah, you're on Central Time. It's four for me. So it's not weird for me to go in an hour early and leave an hour early. But if they had the 2 o'clock game one day, it'd be like, I can't just dip out in the middle of the day and be like, go to watch basketball.
For me, who doesn't work those normal hours, will probably be recording the games and just trying to watch them when I get home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that actually is nice, though, because if you're doing the game recap, you'll have a lot more time because their latest game is at 8 p.m.
No, 7 me for me.
7 for you.
That's
yeah,
normal, exactly. Though. I mean,
that's a weekend game also. Oh, no.
That's a Monday for me.
So, okay, well, Rockets on a back-to-back, and then who's the Heat's back-to-back? I mean, they play the Pacers twice. There's a good chance at least, right? This is good. I needed to look this stuff up for an article at some point anyway. So. Heat back-to-back does not beat the
Pacers. Yeah, Toronto-Boston. The Heat have a tough schedule. They play Denver, Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee.
Oh, well, the Heat's schedule, Adam, should we take a little break and talk about the surrounding teams' schedules?
Yes, we should.
Thank you for that segue. But before we talk about the Heat and Sixers and other teams' schedules that are important, we're going to talk about Blinkist, a secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead in life because as things are opening up, it's hard to find time to sit down and read. And when you don't have free time, it's hard to work on personal development. It's hard to read. It's hard to, you know, get away from stuff and find time to learn and stuff like that. Well, Blinkist solves that problem because what they do is they'll take all the information from thousands of nonfiction books, well, whichever one you want to read, but they have thousands of nonfiction books that take the key takeaways, slam it into something you can read quickly or just 15 minutes of audio or something like that. So you can get the information in a condensed way. It's really awesome. 12 million people use it right now. They have a massive growing library of many types of books. And right now, for a limited time, they have a special offer for you guys. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA. You can try it for free for 7 days. Save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/MBA for a 7-day free trial. And you'll save 25%. But you got to do it at that link, Blinkist.com/MBA. So none of their schedule, Adam, being easy matters if the Heats and Sixers just blow theirs out of the water. And thankfully, John Shookman of NBA.com took over the schedule analysis for me. I mean, I'm sure he had probably had it before everybody else because he writes for NBA.com. But he was all over the – he had the – so how teams – like their strength of schedule on their old schedule, like prior to the league suspension, their new schedule – and the difference, and then the rank of all three of those numbers. So the Pacers, of all the 22 teams, would have had the ninth hardest schedule in the league if the league resumed as normal. Now they have the 13th hardest schedule in the league, so they've been given a gift. The Heat, on the other hand, had the 14th hardest schedule of the 22 teams left, and now they have the second hardest schedule. So they got royally screwed. That's the they had the second highest difference in schedule change in the entire NBA. Only the Lakers got harder by a bigger amount. And then Philly didn't change. They had the second easiest schedule in the league. They still have the second easiest schedule in the league. So from a Pacers standpoint, holding off Philly is going to be hard, but catching Miami could be possible because of the way the schedule shook out.
Yeah, there's a weird way that ends up being a 4-5 Pacers-Philly matchup.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat would love to fall to 6, too, I feel like.
Would they, though?
If they think they can beat the Celtics easily, yeah, they could get to the conference finals. And then, you know, their goal is to lure Giannis. Like, they want to get as far as they can and be like, look how good they are already.
Wouldn't the best way to lure Giannis is to beat him? Or
to
maybe
beat him?
Isn't that what the
Warriors technically, yes, that is accurate, yes.
Now what the Warriors did to Kevin Durant.
Yes, that is accurate. That is also accurate. That is true. Yeah, if there is a Heat Bucks series, every Bucks fan better be praying for a 4-0 sweep or something.
Oh, I think 4-1 would be enough.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway,
the Bucks probably beat them 4-1, to be honest.
The Sixers open with the Pacers. We talked about how that game is important. And I really still want to have a Sixers guy in to get his perspective on what the Sixers' goals will be. But after the Sixers play the Pacers, Adam, here are their next 5 games. Spurs, so what, 3rd or 4th worst team. Wizards, worst team. Magic, bottom 6 or 7. Trailblazers, same range. And Suns, bottom 2. So they are – if the Pacers lose to the Sixers, there's a good chance the Sixers jump out 6-0, which that means it's going to be very hard for the Pacers to keep pace because they also have the – in their first 6 games after they play Philly, they have the Lakers and the Heat. So they need to win that game because the Sixers' schedule is not very hard.
Yeah, that's why to me the one to watch is Miami because they could jump out to an 0-4 start, which would and basically maybe get 3-1 start, and that would right there shorten the gap within 3 seconds.
I will jump to the Heat in a second. I will say for the Sixers, if the theory holds that I mused that I don't know if this is actually going to matter of, you know, playing those teams that are pushing really hard to make the playoffs is going to be harder, right? Like the Blazers, for example, are better than their win percentage because they are going all out to try to get into the play-in game or into the playoffs. The Suns and Spurs, technically, but like you said, who knows with them. So, you know, those teams might be harder to play than their record would suggest, and they do close with Raptors-Rockets, who are both very good. But in general, they have an easier schedule. And like the Pacers' advantage, it's early, so they can really get their rhythm before those final 2 games. So the Sixers have been gifted – possibly the perfect schedule.
Do we know if Ben Simmons is playing or not?
I don't know that for sure, actually. That is a good question.
I mean, we also don't know, I guess, if Matt Clark is going to play either, right? We also don't know that, too.
Ben Simmons is back to full health and will be available to play, according to Jackie McMullen.
Brogdon, though, we don't know about, right, because of his COVID
positive. Yeah, he said he's going to join the team in Orlando, so I would assume he is.
Yeah, but I don't know. How long will he test positive for? That's the question.
Yeah. Who knows when that originally popped up. I do think, though, the fact that we haven't heard any news on Justin Holiday is good. I know they said they're going to take their sweet time with Vic anyway and just leave him inactive. Like, they don't really care if he wants to go at this point. But the fact that we didn't hear anything about Justin Holiday means I would guess he's leaning towards playing.
Irrelevant. Yeah, what's the deadline's the 30th, right?
The deadline was the 24th, but it was, like, not a real deadline, if that makes sense. Like, they could just leave the guy inactive. It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, I mean, he can accept up to basically the day before showing up,
basically,
right?
The day before they would fly to Orlando, he could, yeah, decide. So yeah, the Sixers, if they, especially if they have Simmons and Embiid, obviously they've had struggles fitting the roster together, and they added Ryan Brokoff, which, and it's not going to do a ton for them, but they'll still have their struggles, but their schedule's easier, which is, it's going to be hard for the Pacers to hold them off, especially if they lose that first game. I mean, so much of what we can break down and analyze might come down to, you know, if the Pacers lose that game, it doesn't matter. They have no control over where they're going to finish.
Well, I still think you're really underestimating Miami's schedule.
Let's get to the Heat now. Yes.
So the Heat play Denver, Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee, their first four. Now, Milwaukee, we'll see if they've clinched pretty much everything. So they're I'm not sure they're going to be trying as hard. But they could easily lose three of those first four. Pacers go 3-1, right, in their first four, and then they're tied. I mean, that's they're tied at that point, right, if they do the math.
So the way that the Pacers getting ahead of the Heat would require them being better by three games. However, if they play them twice, so if they win both those games, just have to be one game better in the other six.
If they go into the two games tied, they have an advantage, right?
Right. So Nuggets, obviously great. Skinny Jokic might be awesome. Who knows? Raptors have a tough schedule. Who knows? Then they have a back-to-back. Celtics next. Celtics could possibly clinch three seed that night with a win. Then Bucks. Bucks will probably lock up one seed that game.
They're 6.5 up. Okay.
They're close enough. They might have by then anyway. So they only get one under 500 team in Phoenix. I love Suns Heat. I think that's the funniest matchup of names in basketball, but. And then Pacers, Thunder, Pacers. So they only have one game against a team that's trying for the positioning thing, which is the Suns. Now, their other games are tough. It's not like – I guess the Thunder are kind of like the Pacers, and they're like that good but not great contender range. But they play a lot of tough teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's a world where they go 2-6, Miami does.
Yeah, that's certainly possible with wins over the Suns and one other game, who knows. I mean, we shouldn't doubt Miami. They've clearly shown they're amazing.
No, but like they could easily go 4-4. It's good. They just could. I don't know. 7-1's be hard for the Pacers, but they.
7-1's tough. But it matters. They could go 6-2 if the 2 wins. Oh, never mind. You're right. They would have to win 7.
Right. Yeah. But again, those are not out of the realm of possibility. There's a way they go 7-1 because the Lakers end up not needing the Philly. They win the Philly game the first one, and then they're able to steal both Miami games or whatever.
Yeah, if they lose that Nuggets game, though, they have the back-to-back next. So if they lose that Nuggets game, they'll probably start at best 1-2. I mean, that means they have to win both of Bucks and Suns to not be going into those two Pacers games with them meaning the world. And we get two Jimmy Butler versus TJ Warren.
And here's the thing, too. If the Pacers go into the last three games only a game back, they control their destiny, which is kind of an important factor in most things. If you know that, then you have a real shot. I think that's probably why, right, the August 14th game is to be determined, because that could be an important seeding game.
That's the last day at every game is TBD. But, yeah, exactly. I think they tried to make it. So like.
But I think what would be hilarious, actually, is if they ended up as the 4-5 TBD tied. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't matter. It
just they don't care, yeah, at all.
Right? There's no advantage. So it's like, okay, great. See you. Whatever. And they put the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll just be narrative stuff. Like the Pacers could get five, and then the Heat at home court and they lost. That's what I would say for forever. Well,
would that be? I mean, I guess maybe in like 30 years, people looking back at it.
But
this year, nobody's going to say that.
Kids who are born this year and then become us and are podcasters in 2045. Like, wow, the Pacers were the four seed and got swept or whatever. Like, that would be funny.
Yeah, I think that hopefully there'll be some remembrance of this year. This weird.
I wonder. Yeah, I do wonder how that this year will be remembered in the future. I hope it. Because like I know very little about the 1999 lockout.
I mean, I remember very little about the 2011-12 lockout. Right. I mean, I know who won it, but like I don't think it's anything less. So it's weird.
So the Celtics are we even giving peace of mind to the Celtics not getting the three seed here?
No, they're three games back. They're good.
They're way ahead of the Heat. They have the Nets and the Magic and the Grizzlies and the Wizards on their schedule. I guess they could catch Toronto because Toronto has the hardest schedule. That's something interesting. And I highly, highly, highly doubt. How close is Boston and Toronto, Adam? You have that
2.5. No, three. I'm sorry, three.
Three? That's a lot. But what are the odds here that we have Pacers or Raptors round one? Because the Raptors have the hardest schedule in the league.
I don't know.
Toronto had a big jump. They had the third biggest jump in difficulty. So they have the third hardest schedule left. They have – the Raptors have Lakers, Heat, Magic, Celtics, Grizzlies, Bucks, Sixers, Nuggets. That's pretty tough.
They'll have to beat the Celtics down. A couple other teams just clinch that, right?
And then, the Celtics have an easier one. So there's a chance that especially because the Raptors start Lakers, Heat.
Remember, the Raptors are one of the best four teams in the league.
They're very good.
Four or five.
I mean, very good. If they stumble at all, though.
Yeah, but
maybe.
Well, the other thing that's gonna happen,
and then we've been staring at this 3-6 spell forever. Maybe the Raptors are in the
beat. I mean, one of these teams is gonna come out and struggle. I mean, it's just gonna be a weird fluke thing where one of these teams, because of the time, and hopefully it won't be the Pacers, but it probably could be. And then
look, if the early season is any indication, I mean, the Pacers were terrible.
Although I think that's not really fair. I don't know. They've played together some games, even if they haven't played together for 4 months.
It's different.
They play together at least a little bit. Like, they do know how to.
Different-ish.
But something's going to come. I mean, it could be out west. You could see a team like, could Denver landing
at
the 7 seed? I don't know. I mean, or the Jazz go from 4-7. That's a possibility, too. I mean, we're going to see something happen. I just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, it really could be anybody.
But I don't see a bunch of 4-4. Like schedules, everybody goes 4-4-4, nothing changes.
Nothing changes. That would be so boring.
That would could also happen very easily.
I would hate that.
Yeah, I would too.
But anyway, I think the takeaway to, if we're going to do this, is holding out the Sixers very hard. Celtics, impossible to catch. But the Heat and Raptors are interesting. And yeah, I think the Pacers actually got pretty lucky. I think the schedule makers did them a nice favor.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Not the easiest, best one, but it could have been worse.
Look, getting the Wizards when that
was and not getting the second LA team was huge.
Yeah, not getting the second LA team and getting the Wizards, even if you consider whatever you think about Heat Kings swap, but getting the Wizards instead of a Clippers team is so nice.
Yes, that's hugely important.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, we know the Pacers are gonna be basically 4-6. But, again, if you really value a certain opponent over another, that's why it matters that it's easier. So we'll see. I don't know that they do. In fact, it seems like they value health over anything. So who knows how hard they go for any seed. But we'll see. We'll see. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. I think we'll it'll be really important that first game and then to see how Miami does.
Yep. Yeah, after the first game, we could be seeding a lot of, all right, you know what? Screw it. Just try to avoid Milwaukee at that point. But we'll see. We'll see. I think, though, that is something that is tradition on the show that we have to do to close this out is go game by game and make predictions. Because for those of you who are around at the beginning of the season, me and Adam predicted every single game, and we both had 34 correct and 31 incorrect predictions at the season halt. So we have 8 games to break the tie. We'll go one game at a time with a little bit of analysis after a short little break. So, of course, we're going to take this break to talk about the title sponsor of many of our shows, Built Bar, the tasty protein bar that is taking over the Locked On Podcast Network, and soon, your pantry, because it's a protein bar that is delicious and tastes like a candy bar. It's got this awesome chocolate base, and they come with a bunch of kinds of flavors. They have 8 nut flavors and 8 nut-free ones. They have some that taste candy-ish. They have some that taste fruit-ish. They have some that, some of the nut ones are really good and crunchy. But in general, they're soft and easy to chew. They're delicious, and they're good for the health-conscious guy. If you're looking for protein, if you're looking for low calorie, if you're looking for low carb, it meets all that. It's got great flavors. You've got to check them out. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Give you $10 off your first order. I highly recommend it. That's BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com with the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. And here we are, Adam, a chance to break our tie. I can't believe we tied, because up to this point in the season, you predicted they'd have 2 more wins than I predicted they'd have, and we were both short of their actual record, but we both predicted the same number of games correct.
I honestly don't really understand how you did this scoring, but whatever.
You don't? I mean,
I do.
You can see the Google sheet. You're in the
Yeah, but like, so let's say it ended today. The tiebreaker would have been right. Who was closer on
win? You would have won. You would have won.
Okay. All right. I thought I wanted to make sure.
Yes. A correct prediction is worth more, but you were closer to their actual record.
Right. So. It's like the price is right, right? If you go
up. It is. Okay. So let's do this one at a time. Let's get the big one first. I mean, this one's the scary one, the interesting one. Philadelphia. Oh, actually, I want to talk about something that I think is hilarious that the NBA did before we get to this.
Okay.
I typed at Philadelphia for this game because the Pacers put home teams and road teams for these games. And I don't really know why. Who does it matter? There's not really a home or road team. Does it? They don't care about the jerseys anymore anyway. Why did they
do it? It must be something with the bench, right?
I guess. Yeah, two gets to pick the bench side, I guess. I mean, it's
is there anything with the broadcast for that? No, not really.
I don't know. I don't know why it matters with the ads and the verses, but anyway, they are at Philadelphia for their first game, Adam. What you got?
Yeah, can you believe they get – well, I guess they have four – no, they get five games in the road the next eight.
I know. They got screwed with all these road games.
You know, Orlando playing them all at home.
Oh, no, they're home for Philly. They would have been on the road in the real game.
Oh. Okay,
they're technically home, quote-unquote, for Philly. Anyway, what you got?
I got a win.
You got a win? Nice. Okay. I do not.
I knew you would. I missed.
Good start. I am kind of worried. You know, I think that you were right that early season their struggles was mostly chemistry stuff. In fact, almost entirely. And I think a lot of guys have talked to me about that when I've asked. But I do also think that there is some ramping up stuff going on. They had a lot of guys injured before this all went down. And I'm just, if they're going to really be prioritizing health, I do wonder how much they'll come out swinging. And Philly, on the other hand, title aspirations, I think they do come out swinging. So,
do you expect Embiid to be in shape?
I think he saw that picture of Jokic and then just changed his entire lifestyle to
okay, that's fair.
Get a puncher's chance. But I understand thinking they could win.
Yeah, I think they have. I think they're going to win. I don't know.
They beat Philly twice already. I mean, the evidence is there that they can
do it. Well, they smoked him. Twice,
they smoked right? Him two of them, both ends, and they almost had him in that third game. I mean, T.J. Warren was incredible that
first
game.
And then that stupid who did Warren throw the ball away? He did,
yes,
right?
He did. After all that, he was 15 for 18, and then
the ball away when it mattered most.
Yeah, but they've proven they can beat them. I talked about this a lot. I think they match up really poorly with Philly. Didn't Embiid or Simmons miss one of the games? I forget which one, but
I think you're like flip, right? Embiid missed the first one, and Simmons
that's
second
right,
one.
That's right. Which is a big deal. They're both really good. It's a horrible matchup, but it's certainly possible they can do it. So we'll see. I think
Page the next one. Vic for none of them, though. Remember that Page had Vic for none of them.
That's true. The next one at LOL Washington. I think we both are going to have the same one here.
What? We're both gonna have a loss? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
They're gonna win. Wait. Yeah. We can move on. We've done Washington enough today. We beat them enough.
I would put them at 90% to beat the Wizard. Like, obviously, no Wall, but the healthy, fully involved Wizards with no Bertans. Like, it's basically Beal and like a bunch of bench players. And some of those guys have NBA futures, but none of them are good enough to change the game besides Beal.
Yeah, we've done this enough time. We don't need to beat up on the Wizards.
Yes, I predict them to be
Washington. I know
it's Orlando. Interesting, but
go ahead. I said I think they lose to Orlando. I'm jumping ahead.
It's tough.
I'm trying to push you ahead because I don't want to talk about the Wizards anymore.
You want to talk about the Wizards? Okay, that's fine. Actually, they beat Orlando. They've beaten Orlando three times this year. They haven't lost to Orlando this year. They played pretty bad at home that first time when Aaron Holiday showed up right at the end, the game-winning three, and they still won.
That's right. We were at that game.
And then they won in Orlando pretty easily. So I think they match up actually very well with Orlando, unlike Philly. So even on a back-to-back, I think that they can pretty easily beat this team. I mean, Vucevic isn't as good as he was when he was an all-star the year before. Meanwhile, the Pacers have gotten improvements across the board. Also, the Magic are led by point guard play from DJ Augustine. So without a good ball handler, I think the Pacers have a really good chance.
Okay, that's fair.
That one's easy. The Suns.
Win.
The win?
Yeah.
Did they play the Suns twice this year or just once?
Probably only once.
I know they won that game in.
Why would they have played them twice? They wouldn't play them again then because it's not.
Oh, duh. Way. I'm an idiot.
They're a West Coast team.
They destroyed them on the road in Phoenix. The Pacers dropped the best tweet ever and then deleted it, which made me sad. TJ Warren's going to kill his old team. I mean, that 25-point performance was awesome.
That was
the fun road trip where the bench was just killing it. The Suns, a shallow Suns team with no Kelly Oubre, just has no chance, basically. So, yes, I agree with you. They will beat the Suns. That one's easy. All right, now is an interesting one because I think the fact that they beat the Lakers, but Anthony Davis didn't play, so it's a little tainted, but they did beat the Lakers. And they do always show up to play LeBron, and there's a chance the Lakers are not giving it their all in this game. But the Lakers are tough, man. They're just good. However, We should talk about this on a future show, the impact of a lot of the guys who are sitting out and what impact it could have on the Pacers, because, I mean, yeah, they got a replacement player, and it's probably going to be JR, but losing Avery Bradley is not nothing. You know, they're worse than they were when during the season, so who knows? Anyway, Lakers
they have LeBron and AD, and as long as they're trying, they're going to win. I think they're going to try all 8 games, honestly, because I think it's going to be a lot of motivation.
I think the one seeds are going to try probably the first 7 games. But
yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of motivation just to try for most of the games. Now, maybe the last game, whatever, but like, there's going to be a strong kind of
it's going to be pressure. So hard to because, you know, Vic's whole, like, I've actually wanted to talk about this for a while. People on Twitter, when I've talked about resting players, are like, they've had 3 months to rest. I totally get that. In theory, they should be well rested. But, like, Vic's worry is that he's ramping up from nothing to games so fast that he's a high chance of re-injury. So even though they had all this time off, I think teams might still consider resting guys just because of that, where they don't want any chance of re-injury before the playoffs, especially teams that have locked up their seed. Now, again, I totally get the opposite side of, look, we haven't played for 3 months. We have 8 games to get into shape before the postseason. And if you're a contender, you want that. But I think I would err on the side of caution for meaningless regular season games during a pandemic and just rest my guys for those games. If I already had locked up my seed, I don't know if the Lakers will have or not. And I don't. And I also just said I don't think they're going to rest guys for game 5. And I think the Pacers lose. I'm talking around the point, but
okay. Yeah, so I pick a loss too. You're gonna.
I think the Pacers lose, but I do think that people are not giving enough credence to the idea of resting players for these games.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, next up, 2 out of 3 big ones against the Heat. We can do both Heat games because I think they're going to split these games, and I don't know why. I have no reason to think that other than just gut intuition.
I think they're going to win.
The first one, you think they're going to win?
Yeah.
It's tough. So, like, last year, remember their last game of the season, they locked up their seed. They played, like, Tyreek started and then TJ Leaf, Edmund Sumner. I mean, it was a spectacle. If their seed is locked up for the last Miami game, they're probably going to do that again, especially if, like J. Michael reported, they're leaning heavily into health, going 10-man rotations, all that. I think they'll win that first one, but I think, you know, if they lose to Houston or the Heat win the game in between, lock up the seeds, the Pacers will lose the second one.
See, what the thing I don't know is if Miami also doesn't care about the last game, do they, like, who wins the battle of the benches?
A tank fest. Who has the worst tank-tastic team?
Who is a TJ equivalent, TJ Leaf equivalent on the Heat?
Yeah, the Heat just, like, spawn amazing young players every season. So they'll play Myers Leonard like 45 minutes or something.
Yeah, I think they lose to Houston. I don't know about you. I think they do.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they can do pretty well against every player Houston plays except for James Harden. So I also think they lose to Houston.
And then I think I'm going to go with they beat Miami.
Okay, that's important because that means we cannot tie. We have 3 differences. So one of us is going to walk out of the season victorious.
Damn, because I had the tiebreaker. I should have played more strategy. Right? I mean, there's no way you beat me in the tiebreaker.
Well, now, officially, though, if they beat Philly and then lose to Orlando, you win. I can't catch you.
They beat Philly.
But the flip side, if they lose to Philly,
I don't want to cheer for any of these outcomes except for the win. So for you.
You don't want to beat me more than you want the Pacers to win?
Yeah, I want them to beat Miami and beat Philly, and then I win, right?
That also is true. That is the way you win if they beat Miami and Philly.
Yeah, so I'm good.
You win if they beat Miami the second time.
I should just pick the same as you, and then I would have already won.
Pick the same as me, except for the game you're the most confident in the opposite of me, basically. Yes. So, yeah. That's my predictions. I think – how many wins is that for me? I have them at 4-4. And you have them at 5-3.
Yeah, which means I end up – my record, end of season record would be 44-29. And yours would be 43-30.
No, your predicted record is 41-32.
No, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Do I have something added wrong?
You do, because they've only ended up playing – like that equals 73 games. Well, maybe that's right.
They are playing 73 games.
Yeah, but I don't have them losing 6 times.
No. I don't see the problem with that.
They're 39-26 now. I have them winning more than two games the next
season. Yeah, but you had them only predicted –
No, I understand. I was talking about – sorry. I was talking about overall record. I'm finishing the season.
Oh, 30, stacked from where they are now.
Yeah, 44-29 that I'm finishing the season.
From the start of the season, you predicted them to go 41-32 and I had them at 38-35. But given the 65 they've already played, yes, you have them finishing at 44 wins and I have them at 43.
Yes. So.
Yes, that is correct.
What is that win percentage? Let me do that real fast. Hold on.
44 out of 73. It's pretty good.
Yeah, times 82. That's 49 wins normally.
Hey.
How's that going to work for the over-unders?
See, Adam, this is a problem because normally we have the content of you talking about the push for 50 wins. We don't have that this year.
That's true. What do you know how they're going to do the Vegas over-unders?
I have no idea. I will say as a closing.
Vegas win?
Because Caitlin tweeted this. They had odds on winning the Eastern Conference, and the Nets are ahead of the Pacers. Why?
Well,
Kevin Durant and Kyrie aren't playing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Idiots. Like, I get that neither team has a chance at all, and the Pacers will play the Bucks possibly, and the Nets definitely won't. But why? Why? The Nets might not even make the playoffs. Like, they could go 1-7, and then the Wizards stomp them in two games, and they're not even in the playoffs.
So we're going to make a push for 45 because that really means 50 wins nowadays.
45 is the number? Okay. We'll talk about the push for 45.
That's going to be our thing until they lose.
I wish they had won one more game before the season ended so we could talk about how if they won all eight, they would have won 48 for a third season in a row. So,
yeah.
Stagnation. Just kidding. So, yeah, I'm glad the schedule's out, and I'm glad about the times of the games, and I think the Pacers have a pretty easy one. All in all, if you're a Pacers fan, you got to be pretty happy with the schedule.
Yeah, I don't like the times, but I get the times.
Yeah, I get it. And they didn't get the early game, which I'm happy about. And they got a national TV game. I forget which one it is.
It's the Houston. No, it's the Laker one.
The Lakers? Of course, yeah. But yeah, they got a national TV game. How cool is that?
On a Saturday at 5.
Saturday at 5. That's such
you know, to be honest, I am excited about basketball in the middle of August because August and September, August, late July, August, September kind of suck because the heat is so bad. You really can't go outside that much. I mean, well, at least where I live, I mean, you can go to the pool, but you can't go to pools nowadays. So, like, basically just stuck inside unless you want to go outside and sweat your bleep off. So, I mean, this is going to be kind of nice to be able to have something to do like on a Saturday afternoon instead of just watching, I don't know, whatever else is on. Probably get back into baseball too when that restarts.
But I'm hyped for baseball. I know very few people listening probably are, but
hey, the Reds might be good. They're supposed to be good this year, supposedly, so we'll see what happens.
The Phillies are going to be solid, but now their schedule is super hard because they have to play the Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays in their interleague games, so that sucks.
And that has been our 2 minutes of baseball.
Yeah, football 5 minutes helped us get through some tough times, and now our baseball 2 minutes will get us. Adam, you got anything else today?
Any thoughts? Just stay safe back out there.
Stay safe, indeed.
Cases are rising in some places and whatnot. Just stay safe. Wear a mask.
Correction. Unless you live in Connecticut or Rhode Island, cases are rising where you are.
Okay. I didn't know what states. I kind of like
that is the John Hopkins map.
No, that's a good map.
But still, yes.
Try to wear a mask when you can. I think it's the best way. That's the proven way to stay safe and keep other people safe. So,
agreed.
But overall, just try to social distance and stay safe and don't get sick. That's
next week, barring any dramatic Pacers news, which I guess with the status of Vic in the air, of course, that's always possible. I think we'll talk about – I have not run this by Adam yet. So we'll talk about what players are sitting out that are knowingly sitting out and see how that impacts the Pacers. This should be pretty fun. Yeah, I'm glad the schedule's out. We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about related to that and other teams going forward. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys on Wednesday.